Welcome to the first ever NEAT podcast. I am Adam Kozakowski, and on today's show, we will speak with the director of the NEAT Center, Nicole Feeney. Today, she will discuss all things NEAT. Stay tuned as she answers common questions, speaks about the future of NEAT, and discusses her background and how she came to the NEAT Center. And now, here's the host of the NEAT podcast, Steve Famagletti.
Well, hello, everyone. It's very exciting because it's our premiere podcast.
And one of a kind.
Right. And we are honored to have Nicole Feeney with us today.
Thank you. She is
a star.
That's very kind.
Well, we got to butter you up before the questions,
yeah,
right?
I guess so.
That's right.
You're making me sweat over here.
I am too, and I'm not even the one in the hot seat. And the dog is too.
Well, thank you for inviting me today. I'm really excited to be here.
Well, we're very glad that you're the first ever guest on the NEAT podcast.
I hope to not disappoint.
So can you give the listeners a background about yourself? Like, how did you get to NEAT?
Oh boy. I feel like it has been a life journey, actually. Starting off, in college, I went to school and struggled the first year or two to kind of find a path. I found myself heading towards special education, not with any real intention other than I thought it would be fun, a good fit. Some of my friends were going down that path. And so once I got into the program doing my undergrad in special education, I fell in love with the students. I worked two of my student teaching field work sessions where one was in a high school working with kids with all different kinds of needs, mostly learning disabilities, some having emotional issues. And then I went to, and I did a couple of months at a private special education school in a classroom that had students with high complex needs. And I really just fell in love with the students and the idea of creating curriculum and modifications to help support their needs. And so after that, I went and I got a job as a special education teacher at a private school in Milford, Connecticut called the Foundation School. I spent almost 10 years there working with kids with all different kinds of disabilities. And so I've had a really large experience with a lot of different kinds of people over the past 20 or so years in the field. But as I was a special ed teacher, I went back to school to get my master's degree in what Southern Connecticut State University had a program for in assistive technology. So it was special education with a concentration on AT, and I loved it. I brought it back to teaching almost immediately. Any kid who would let me, I was introducing them to technology, and you know, this was a long time ago, so everything was... it would be antiquated now, but it was really kind of an exciting time, and I knew that's what I wanted to do. There weren't as many opportunities, I think, as there are now for assistive technology positions. And so I stumbled upon a position at NEAT. They were looking to hire a part-time assistive technology specialist, and I hadn't had any experience, but I think I sold myself well. I convinced them to let me try it. And ever since then, it's been kind of a roller coaster of great experiences. I started part-time, just one or two days a week, and now as an assistive technology specialist. And now I'm the director, and I'm thrilled because I work with great people who have a vast amount of experience. So...
That's an amazing journey, and I'm sure it's had its ups and downs over the years too.
Yeah, I think the most exciting and frustrating part, right, has been building awareness around assistive technology, getting people to understand the concept, and kind of breaking down some of the myths that surround assistive technology has been both really exciting and invigorating, and frustrating sometimes when you kind of come across issues where people consider it, cheating or too expensive to include in the classroom. or there's just a lack of knowledge. And so kids are forced to kind of use old methods that hinder their growth when assistive technology can play such a role in making them more independent and increasing the their learning strengths, really.
So we're sitting here today doing our first ever NEAT podcast. Can you tell listeners what NEAT is?
Ooh,
exactly.
I don't know if we have enough time.
I know.
So NEAT is an acronym for New England Assistive Technology. We are a center of a larger agency called Oak Hill, located in Hartford, Connecticut. Oak Hill is the largest nonprofit in the state of Connecticut, and it wears many hats in the world of disability services. And so we at Oak Hill, we have parts of our agency who work in group homes, in day programs. We have in-home services for adults with disabilities. We have educational programs throughout the state of Connecticut. And then Oak Hill also has a cluster of centers that find themselves in innovative services for people with disabilities. And so we have a program, if you don't mind me talking about Oak Hill at large.
Sure.
Oak Hill also has centers like the Center for Sexual Health and Relationship Education, which is a curriculum that has been created for individuals with developmental disabilities to learn about health and relationship education, which is so, so important because as a special education teacher, I think what happens often is we can throw as many, you know, modified curriculums and assistive technology at someone, but if they don't have a good understanding about how they can connect with the people around them in a healthy way, those tools just... they don't take you as far as you could as if you understood how to work with other people and essentially pay attention to your own health and safety. And so we also have Chapter 126, which is an adaptive rec center in Bristol, Connecticut. One of my favorite places to be, quite frankly.
Me too.
I'm sure you'll have more opportunities throughout your podcast to talk about those places.
Oh, you know
But we also have Camp Hemlocks and Camp Harkness, which are adaptive camp centers that host individuals with disabilities and their family for kind of an adaptive, incredible camp experience. That brings us to NEAT, and I know I kind of took a long way to get here, so my apologies, but
we don't mind.
I feel like it's good for everyone to understand the family that surrounds NEAT as well and how much work we do together at Oak Hill. But the NEAT Center in particular, New England Assistive Technology, our focus generally is on assistive technology, and we work with people of all ages and abilities, and I truly mean that I have worked with babies as young as 10 months old all the way up through the aging populations. And so we see people at lots of different stages in their life and also transitions. So individuals who haven't had disabilities through their life and then something happens in adulthood, car accident or, you know, a disability comes later on, visual impairment, we can meet them where they are and help serve them and support their needs. So assistive technology to us is really a range of needs. We work with people who have visual impairments, physical disabilities, learning disabilities, the aging population, people who want to live at home longer. We work with kids with autism and communication disorders. So we really do reach kind of a large net of people in many stages of their life.
So kind of keeping on that theme, can you talk a little bit about kind of our staff and what kind of the staff strengths are and what they bring to the population that they serve?
I would really love to do that. So actually, I'm surrounded by some of you here today, which I argue you could probably talk about yourselves better, but I would love to dote upon each of you for a few minutes. And so I'll start with you, Steve, because I don't know that you told the listeners all the amazing things that you do, but...
That'll be for a different podcast.
Okay. Well, Steve, the host of the show, actually focuses on blindness and low vision and supports individuals and kids with technology use that can support their vision impairment. And so he is quite busy and, again, works with people of all ages and abilities. I'm also with Adam Kazakowski, who is an assistive technology specialist here. It's also one of the, he's one of the newer staff, although it's been 6 months. I always say that you're a baby at knee until someone else comes along. So
That's fine. I'm okay with that.
Adam jumped right in. It was kind of crazy and has been busy ever since. I don't think he's had a second to kind of breathe or blink. but we've been throwing a lot of crazy, cool new projects at Adam. But his... Yep. His area of specialty, I would say, is kind of a general assistive technology. He dabbles in everything and is very good at that.
Thank you.
And essentially came in to kind of help us focus on individuals with physical disabilities, but has kind of consumed it all. So we're very lucky to have both of you. And then there is Chris Thompson, oh so quiet over here, producing the show. But his job has kind of blown up into being our smart technology specialist. And so we have recently received a grant, several grants, but a larger grant from the CTA Foundation, the Consumer Technology Association Foundation, for a smart home on wheels, which is... crazy to think about what that means, but essentially it is a tiny home that we have put on wheels and outfitted with smart technology so that we can bring it to events and conferences and demonstrate how smart technology can impact individuals with disabilities and people who are aging in place, let them live home longer, more independently, allow them to keep their dignity on things that they feel very strongly about. And so he really heads that up and has been the guiding force behind that. So I'm sure you guys will talk more about that too. That's a whole show and a half.
Oh yeah.
but we also have Elena Fader, who is not in the room, but she is our speech and language pathologist, and her job is to focus on AAC, which stands for Augmentative Alternative Communication. And she is incredible at what she does, and she supports kids of all ages. It's really brilliant to watch her work with individuals who don't have a voice or who struggle to articulate, and she helps bring their voice to life by supporting them with the use of communication devices. And we've recently just brought on Sarah Brink, who is working for us as an independent contractor and is also a speech and language pathologist. So our team is growing every time we turn around. We have Jamie Martin, who is also new to the team. He's been here for a little bit longer, but his role really is in learning disabilities and dyslexia. And a lot of people might know him from understood.org. He has quite a presence there on their webinars and on their website. But we have stolen him. Quite frankly, he is brilliant. And he has such a calm presence with kids that it's really fun to watch him talk to kids about what they're... concerns are and show them how easy assistive technology can be and impact to their studies and increase their learning styles and strengths. And so he's been a great addition to the team as well. We have Jennifer Alexander, Sally Gallo, Jeff Clark, and Thomas Dealey, and they work for NEAT in our equipment services. So we have we do equipment reuse, so people can donate durable medical equipment. We refurbish it, sanitize it, and put it back into the market for less than half of what it would normally cost them. And it's brilliant, and it's a very large part of what we do here at NEAT. We all work together collaboratively and cohesively, and so you will find most of us are supporting each other on evals or consults. I would say most of the people that we see do not just have one, you know, concern or disability. It's usually multiple. Mm. And so we all have an area of expertise but can come together to deliver the most cohesive assistive technology assessment or framework to help fit their needs at every capacity. I've talked so much. I'm so sorry. We have a big team, and we have such great skill sets, so it's hard for me to not.
Well, it's funny because, you know, when I'm out in public and I'm maybe not even during work time and I meet people and they say, what do you do for work? It's like, do you have 3 hours for me to tell you about the organization that I work for, the people on our team, and the work that I do? Because it's very hard to answer the question in a short amount of time because
it really
there's so much that can get covered. But most people really don't want the book version. They want the Reader's Digest version. It's hard to give that.
It is. We do a lot. We have a lot of great people on staff who have beautiful skill sets, and so you want to be able to highlight each of those.
Well, right. Now we can just point everyone to the podcast.
That's right.
True. Here you go. Here's a quick 45 minutes to an hour, however long this is going to be, and learn about us.
That's right.
So I've got another question for you that I was thinking of when you were talking about our team. And can you give the listeners an idea of some of the services that are available to them?
Oh, sure. We conduct assistive technology and augmentative alternative communication services. So people can have us come in and do demonstrations or presentations. We do professional development. We do consultations and evaluations that support individuals' needs. Elena, specifically in the AAC world, does AAC coaching. So she's working with teams or families or individuals to help support their communication device and really help them integrate it into their life at a very large capacity. It's not just about giving someone the tool, but it's really about showing them how to use it, implement it, and progress with it. We also do that with training in the assistive technology side of things. We do smart home assessments. Two of our new services, if I can include those.
Sure,
yeah.
I guess.
I already put them on the website, so you might as well mention them.
Okay, good. So Adam and I'm sure he'll talk more about this at some point, but has introduced us to a world of video game accessibility, and it's thrilling. Assistive technology to us is really a mindset. It's not a tool. It's not a category of tools. It's not one framework over the other, although we all have a framework we use. It is about a mindset and saying no to people who want to say, you know, that you can't be included in this because you're blind, because you have a physical disability. It's about saying, how can we maneuver around what's really hard and take what you're really good at, what your strengths are, and use that to empower you and access video games and learning and communication however you want to. The other thing we're doing, and Steve, you could probably even talk more about this, but you and Adam have kind of been a driving force behind digital accessibility and helping colleges, universities, companies, including our own at Oak Hill, become more digitally accessible to people, making sure that people's websites, that someone who is blind and using a screen reader can go to a website and get the information they need. Because if you can't see it, and the screen reader doesn't provide the information to you, you don't know that you're missing it. And that's the really hard part that we're trying to get people to understand. It's not that complicated, and you're just becoming a more inclusive place when you provide access to your digital content.
I want to kind of switch topics for a minute and talk about the equipment services, because in the last, I would say, year, there have been so many changes with equipment services. I know that, you know, we kind of closed down for a while to make changes, and I'm wondering if you can just sort of update our listeners about where we've come with this, because as I've been going around for the last year, I've heard a lot of things from the public that people thought were true that were not true. They thought we were closed permanently, you know, here at NEE.
Yeah.
And I've been doing my best to remind and educate people that we had to close down for a while, but we're now reopened. And I feel like that's something that that I would love for you to talk about.
I would love to, because I really do want to address some of the concerns. We are open for business. NEET itself has always been open. I don't think the assistive technology side of things really were impacted by that. We were still busy and getting calls about evaluations. But what occurred was our equipment services, our adaptive equipment services, that includes the durable medical equipment donations and purchases that people can make here, that had to kind of temporarily close the doors, because what we did was renovate the building. We went through a lot of equipment that tends to kind of, I think this happens in most reuse, is that, you know, you start to accumulate lots of equipment and parts. And so what we did was temporarily close the doors to the public and just kind of look at our process, look at what we have here, and just kind of go through our own system and try to create a process that is easier for us. And so we've been able to do that. It's not been easy, but we have a great team here. We have a very small team, so I do want to make people aware of that. It's really just three individuals who work in the equipment services. We reach thousands of people a year. And so we do have a part-time individual as well, but you can imagine that's really, it's a lot of people to reach for such a small team. So we do our best. We will pick up equipment, so if you're in the area, we can deliver and pick it up. But we did have to close our doors for a little bit of time just to regroup. And we're really proud of what we've accomplished, and we are thrilled to be able to give that back to the public now.
I would tell anybody from the public to kind of, you know, give us a call and make an appointment to come in and see what we've done with equipment services, because it is just amazing the changes that have happened, and it's wonderful.
Just to let everyone know what kinds of equipment we do have here. Mm. We do have toileting equipment. We have standers, walkers, transport chairs, wheelchairs, power chairs, electric hospital beds and lifts. And then we do often get unique pieces of equipment like tricycles and other kinds of fun equipment like pool lifts that people donate. They don't need them anymore, so they bring them here. People can often find very unique pieces of recreational equipment here as well. The other part of equipment services is that we work with ALS Connecticut, and we house their loan library here. So we support them with picking up equipment, recliners, wheelchairs, and bringing it here to refurbish it and put it back out to other individuals who might need it within the ALS community. We also have we work with Connecticut's Birth to Three system, and we house their adaptive equipment here for young children between the ages of birth to 3 years old, and so that they can kind of recycle and reuse that equipment as kids are little and they grow older, they often grow out of equipment much quicker than adults. And so we hope that it saves the state of Connecticut a lot of money to do that.
No, that's great. Yeah. I was sitting here as you were talking, thinking about another service that we have at NEET, which is the lending library.
Yes.
I wondered if you could tell our listeners about that.
I absolutely could. And so NEET runs off of a membership. You do not need to be a member of NEET to use the benefits or to use our services at all. But we do have a membership that provides discounts on services and access to our loan library. Individuals with disabilities and their families are automatically considered members of NEET. But then we have schools, agencies, and companies, universities who pay an annual fee to be a member. they have then have access to a lending library, which we're actually sitting in right now, that has brilliant and beautiful assistive technology tools, both past and present, that people can borrow and try before they buy. And that's kind of our motto, is that it's really, sometimes assistive technology, although in the grand scheme is not expensive, a $100 keyboard for somebody who could probably use that money towards something else, it can be a lot of money. And so they can come here. If we have it, they can try it for 30 days, get a better sense of whether it's a tool that can impact them. And then if it is, they bring it, they return it and go and make that purchase. But at least it's an educated purpose, purchase, excuse me.
I got it.
So I hope that helps. So we have all sorts of things like laptops with software. We have iPads with apps, both communication and learning. We have talking books. We have alternative mice and keyboards, low-tech to mid-tech communication devices. The list kind of goes on. Mm-hmm. Oh, we also have, can I mention?
Sure.
We also have the lending library for our smart home. And so we actually have smart technology that people can borrow, place in their home, and get a sense of whether an Amazon Echo can help them with their executive functioning, list reminders, to-dos, shopping lists, before they actually go out and spend a couple of $100 on that piece of equipment.
The whole concept is a really great idea, because sometimes, I mean, anybody, you go somewhere and you look at something and it's in a store or wherever, and you think it's a great idea because it looks great on paper, it sounds good from the person showing it to you, but ultimately you really don't know until you have it in your own environment with your own things that you need to do. What are some of the other kind of services that people could access, like if they're interested in learning about technology, you know, and they want to come to us, what could they gain from coming to us?
Sure. So we have professional development opportunities, both in person and virtually. So Jamie Martin recently did a virtual presentation to a group in California and Chicago, potentially in Canada in a few months. And so we all have the ability to do that and have done that at some extent. So professional developments can be brought in-house. So if you were, say, a school district who was looking to kind of bulk up your knowledge on tech tools for individuals with learning disabilities or access, we could come to you and provide that professional development opportunity and build your capacity. We also are at a lot of events. You could come say hi to us if we're a vendor or an exhibitor at a table, and we could talk to you a little bit about what we offer. Or give advice. Part of what we do is we're a resource center, so sometimes we just get phone calls or emails, and people want to learn a little bit more about or hear what our opinion is on a certain product. We all of us here at NEAT, we all travel to national conferences, and we are part of many, many conferences across the United States, like ATIA, Closing the Gap, FETC in Florida, and so we've all been kind of around the block in that way and continue to. And one of the most important ones that we are involved in is one in Rhode Island called ATCNE. And then one coming up in March. So if you're in the area and you wanted to join us, there's one called Achievement Through Technology, which is sponsored by the Connecticut Tech Act Project, one of our sponsors as well. And so we try our best to support that conference and be there to present all different kinds of information. So people can find us in a lot of different places.
So it's very exciting. You know, this is our first podcast and we're on Twitter, and our Twitter handle is @theneat, NEAT podcast. Believe it or not, even though this is our first podcast, we actually got a question from Twitter. This world is becoming so small these days with all social media and everything. And one of the questions we get asked a lot, and this came through, was, is any of our equipment covered under insurance?
That's a great question. All right, none of our services at this time are covered by insurance, but through our AAC services, we can provide AAC or Augmentative Alternative Communication evaluations that are written for insurance funding so that we can help support people get funding for a communication device through the AAC evaluation process. But in terms of taking insurance for any of our services, like assistive technology evaluations or professional development, anything like that, we don't take insurance at this time. It is something that we are constantly thinking about, talking about. It's just we haven't gotten there yet. So I hope that in the future, in the near future, that that's something that we're going to be able to do. It is something we're really discussing heavily about our AAC. One of Elena's goals is kind of bringing speech therapy with an AAC twist to it. And so that individuals who have communication devices can receive speech therapy and also learn how to better integrate their communication device into their life. And so that we're hoping to start soon and have covered by insurance.
I'm kind of wondering if you can share with us one of your favorite pieces of technology, and also, do you have, I know that you've been in the field for a long time, and it doesn't even have to be here, but do you have a situation that you worked with, or a case, or a student, or a client, or something, where you really were blown away by the impact of what you did, what the technology did for the person or group of people that needed it?
Oh my goodness. You don't have enough time for all of the stories. But I it's funny, I'll address your question about my favorite type of technology first, and then I can go into kind of an impact statement. But I have two answers to the question about my favorite type of technology. One is essentially the iPad. It seems silly. It's like one of everybody's favorite device, but I think mine comes from a very different place. I was new to the field, fairly new to the field when the iPad kind of came out. I had only been doing this for a few years, and I remember hearing about it, researching, studying, waiting, and I remember being in line the first day that it came out for 4 hours. And just waiting and waiting. And I got it home. Well, I had the neat credit card, but I got it home. And the first app that I downloaded was Pocket Pond. And so for some of you, it might be a throwback. You might know it. But essentially, it was an app that consumed your screen, and it was just a pond. And there was fish swimming, and it was clearly there was water and leaves, and you could take your finger and run it across the screen, and it would make like water-like sounds, and you could kind of tap the fish and they would swim away, and you could feed them. And it wasn't crazy. It wasn't like a crazy app like you see today, but I knew from that moment, like I could cry thinking about it, because I thought, this is going to be crazy for some of the students that I've worked with in special education, because that direct selection, the cause and effect, the ability to be able to tap on what you want without having to navigate, you know, a mouse, a keyboard, the mouse pointer on the screen, and then opening up the internet, then, you know, having to be able to spell to get to your email, and then having to spell to be able to type them. It's so much. And I felt like the iPad was going to provide this accessible platform, but I had no idea what it could actually do, like where we'd be today. And so I know that's a long-winded story, but today it is still one of the most accessible forms of technology I've ever seen, that most people can access it in one way or another, and it still continues to amaze me with possibilities of head tracking and potentially eye gaze one day. And so it's just so exciting. It's an inclusive tool, and that to me is the most special thing about it. It's done so much for assistive technology.
It really changed the landscape, I think, AT.
Yeah, and I think it started to change people's opinion about what assistive technology can look like.
Totally, because it looked like everybody else's iPad, but the person using it might turn on an accessibility feature or use a group of apps, mm-hmm. and they don't look like the kid or the adult sitting next to them anymore. Like they look just like the person that's next to them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for me as a blind person, I never had access to mainstream equipment, if you will, until the iPad and iPhone came along. And all of a sudden I could be in the car with someone and say, oh, I've got to play you this new album that I found. And I'm not pulling out something and they're going, what's that that you're using? And having that whole conversation, it's like, mine is the same as yours. It talks to me because I enable something that's part of it. Mm-hmm. And it's a very different feeling than it was 10, 12 years ago.
Absolutely. The other would be, I'm going to kind of integrate that with my impact. I have so many impact stories, and it has nothing to do with me. It's really individuals themselves who are just shown a tool that empowers them. And so it might just be me or you or someone else bringing the tool to them that is impacting them, but really it's the person, it's the individual themselves, and how they use the tool. And so a perfect example is a student I saw, a fourth grader with a learning disability and dyslexia, and just such a brilliant kid who is really struggling to read, but so bright. And I was showing her a text-to-speech tool on her computer that was reading the text to her. And she was like, wow, this is really cool. I like this, but I don't know if I like the voice that much. And so, you know, I started talking to her about strategies for using text-to-speech because not everyone uses it the same way. And it's important to educate people about that. And so she did something really brilliant. She actually turned the voice off on her computer and hit play on her text-to-speech so that the words were being highlighted and tracked, but the voice was muted. And so if you can picture this kid sitting in front of a computer and watching a blue highlight go over every word, but no sound coming from the computer, she was reading the words to herself aloud with the highlight. Whoa. And the tracking helping to guide her across the screen. And then when it came across a word she didn't know how to read herself, she unmuted her computer and used the text-to-speech to have that word read aloud to her, and then went back to the same method she had before. So she wanted the text-to-speech, but she wanted it in a way that was going to change her world, not
brilliant.
You know, just mm-hmm. just crazy brilliant. And I could talk about individuals with communication disorders or physical disabilities and how I've seen them access technology in incredible ways. But that's just one that kind of stands out to me. It was a brilliant kid who just needed a little bit of access to guide her on her way.
That's awesome. Mm. That is so awesome. Before we release Nicole back to the real
the
world.
The wild.
Is there anything else that we did not talk about today that you wanted to bring up before we wrap?
Oh, boy. I don't think, maybe just where the future of need is going. Someone has asked me that recently, like, where are you guys going to go next? And I thought, we're in the thick of it. You know, all of the new stuff we've got going on with the show or the smart home on wheels, the video game accessibility, 3D printing, digital accessibility. We have so many new projects right now that's really exciting and totally consuming that it's hard because if anyone said, well, this is the future of NEAT, I would say, how could you possibly know that? Technology evolves every day. And we pride ourselves on being able to navigate those changes and evolve with the times. So I know that seems silly, but it's just how I see the future of NEAT is just brilliantly unknown.
Well, Nicole, I really appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to come on our podcast today. It's been an honor and a pleasure to have you here, and we will probably have to have you back at some point.
Please do. You might have to fight me to keep me out of here.
I'm thinking that's true.
Every week, but I love what we're doing here. Thank you so much to you guys for getting this podcast going. I can't wait to see where you take it. Thank you for letting me talk endlessly about NEAT and all of your brilliant work here. So thank you.
Thank you.
For more information, please visit us at assistivetechnology.oakhillct.org or hit us up on Twitter at The NEAT Podcast.
Today's podcast was hosted by Steve Famigliati and produced by Chris Thompson and Adam Kozakowski. Our theme music was composed by Andrew Paragiovanni. Tune in next week for another episode, and thanks for listening.